Let me choose 12,000 men. I'm going to get up, I'm going to chase after David right tonight. If I go after tonight, I'll be able to chase him. Governor Mel is not expecting a surprise attack. He's not expecting you to do anything right now. Okay, so let's go after him right now. Now remember, this is all the more shocking because Absalom's word was literally the word of God. And everybody treated it that way. That when people heard what Achitophel's word, they looked at Achitophel and they said, wow, that must be from the Urim and the Tumim. That's literally how they treated Achitophel. And he said, I'm going to come to him. He's going to be tired and weakened of the hand back. Darkioso, and I'm going to strike him. The Nuskolam Asherito, all the people that are with him are going to flee. The Ekesias and Melech Levado, I will only kill the king. I'm not going to go for anybody else, said Achitophel. My only job over here is to get the king itself. And that's that. Once I get the king, everybody will be done. The Shivakola Melech, then all the people will come back to you. Kishuvakola, Isha Shiratam of Akesh Kola, Omni Yeshalom. When everybody returns after I've killed the man that you are looking for, then all the people will be at peace over here. Now, he wanted to act immediately. He knew that the only way they'd be able to go was to be, he didn't want him to organize a strength, a defense. And Davidov was already shocked that Absalom was going to come against him in the first place. This is the idea. If you give me 12,000 people, I'll be able to go, I'll be able to fight against David Melech, I'll go with David Melech itself. Okay, so here we go.
Like he wants to kill David himself, like he literally wants.
Like Achitophel wants to go after him.
Did we say that he's held responsible for this in the end, Achitophel?
Achitophel, 100%. That everything that he did over here. Obviously, Absalom started it. Achitophel only joined him later on.
Yeah, but
Achitophel was entirely. Yeah, that's the idea, 100%. Now, here we go. Number one, there's five elements that come up from what Achitophel was saying over here. Number one, let's go out with only 12,000, 1,000 from each one. If I have to make a bigger army, it's going to take more time. I want a quick army that we can get right now so I can go out and fight David Melech. That's number one. Number two, he recommended that they strike at night. The attack is going to be a surprise. They're not going to get there. It's going to be a sudden shock. The forces are going to flee. It's going to leave David Melech alone, which will allow me to kill him. Number three, Absalom, you should not endanger your life by going into battle. I'll be able to take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything myself. And that way you don't have to worry about maybe Absalom feeling bad for his father when he finally does meet him in battle. Number four, Achitophel said we have to kill David Melech. Until David Melech is gone, your kingdom is going to be challenged by David Melech, and David Melech eventually will come back together. Number five, I assure you that the people will come back to you after David Melech is gone. The only reason why some people are not on your side right now is because David Melech is still alive and they're still on David Melech's side. As soon as David Melech is gone, everything will be fine and everything will return you, and that's why I'm not going to kill anyone except for David Melech himself, said Achitophel. Yes, what are you going to say, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, now they heard this and they said, you know what, it sounds right. Absalom, it made a lot of sense, as well as all the Zakenim of Yisrael. Now this is amazing. Nonetheless, now number one, it says that the elders of Israel seems that they were okay that David Melech was going to be killed. They assumed, right, that Absalom's claim that his father refused to grant justice, remember what Absalom had told the people, that he had said stuff like that? They assumed that this was a punishment for David for what he had done by Uriah Hiti, and that maybe David Melech was not exactly as good as he should have been when it came to Mishpat and Klal Yisrael, and that's that. Okay, and that's all it was over here. So it was good. He said, that makes a lot of sense over here of what's going to be, which is why this is the crazy part over here. It could be the only part that Achitophel had against this was, should David HaMelech really die? Should my father really die? And maybe he felt a little bit bad. But Yomar Absalom, Kron na gam l'Hushai Arki. Let's ask Hushai Arki over here. Remember, that was the friend of David HaMelech who had gone back and defected to Absalom to be a spy. Nishma ma b'piv gam hu. Now, this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to happen. Let's hear what he has to say. Rebbe Hushai lo Absalom, but Yomar Absalom may love Leimor. Kadavar zed dibur Achitophel anah says devaroim ayin atal gaber. This is what Achitophel just said. Should we do it or not? What do you say? What's the best thing to do? He was looking. It sounds like Absalom was trying to say, what would you say? What's the alternative over here? Hushai said to Absalom, Lotova is Asher Yatz Achitophel. I don't agree. I don't think it's good advice what Achitophel was trying to say about Pamazos at this time. You know your father, you know his men, they're strong. Umari Nefeshem, they're also embittered, they're upset, they're angry. They're like a bear without any cubs in the field. Meaning, like a bear protecting its cubs and trying to take care of things. Right now they're in defense mode. In defense mode, they know that you're coming against them, and they're angry. Let them feel like we forgot about them for a little bit, and then we'll take them by surprise, and then it'll be easier. Obviously, he was faking it, but that's what he was trying to say. Your father's a man of war. He's been at war before. He knows what it's like. He's not going to let them be weary. He's going to make sure that they're perfectly fine. Okay, Achitof will assume that David Melech and his men are going to be weary. Husha said, you don't understand your father. That's exactly what David Melech... David Melech knows what's going to happen over here, and he's going to act right over here. He's a man of war. He knows how to act. He's going to be remain on guard all night long. This is not the time to attack him over here. Husha Arki was 100% lying. He knew that David Melech was not ready for this attack, and that David Melech was devastated from the fact that Abshalom had tried to take over the kingdom. He knew that. But he knew that if they fought right then there was a chance that David Melech would die. Husha would do anything to protect David Melech, and that's why he gave this advice over here. Okay, for each one of them, right, all those points that he set up above, Husha Arki was arguing each one of those points and trying to bring them down to show you that no matter what you do, you're never going to be able to get them whatsoever. Either way, regardless, he was also afraid that Abshalom was going to start saying, hey, are you really on my dad's side? So he kept saying, but we'll fight them later. But we'll go up to them later. Don't worry, I might not be able to do it now, but later on we will be able to listen. We are going to do something. So Pasuk Tes says, so right now he's hidden in one of the pits or some other place over there, right? When it happens that someone falls out on them against in the beginning, people are going to say, oh my gosh, the people that follow Abshalom are going to be massacred, because they're going to be in an area where obviously David Melech is going to be protected. They're going to make sure that it's okay, and your battle is going to be lost. So over here you have to understand, he's a strong man. David Melech has the heart of a lion. He may seem musk, right? I should say, even if a man has a heart like a lion, it's not David Melech. Even if a man fighting for you, he will melt. Everybody knows that David Melech, as well as his men that are the closest to him, are the strongest men in Israel. So no matter what you do, if you fail in this first battle against David Melech, then you failed for all time. You'll never be able to fight David Melech because everybody's going to be scared to death of him. You couldn't get him even when he was in a weakened state. So what are you going to do when he becomes stronger? What's updated?
Absalom shouldn't have asked Hushai. He should have gone straight to the Urim and Thummim.
I don't think he had it.
It was still with David?
Remember, they had brought it together, Tzadok and Abiyasar, who brought it with David and Melech, and David and Melech sent them back. But I don't know if he ever asked, and I don't know if he ever wanted to ask the Urim and Thummim. He may have thought at some point that this was God's will, but he never asked. He never got involved. He never got really good advice from the Rabbanim, so to speak. Never got stuff like that. No.
Well, he's got
he never used
it.
I'm sorry?
Achitofel.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Was a Russia in his own right.
But I hear what you're saying.
I agree with that in some way. That's the idea behind it. The idea is that you gotta make sure, right? And that so too over here it says, by the way, that Achitofel, he was referring to Achitofel. Achitofel is a valiant man. Achitofel is the heart of a lion. Right? But you gotta be careful, because Achitofel himself might, you know, if he fails in the beginning, he won't be able to do anything in the end. Plus get out. I therefore give advice, right? I think you should gather to you Kol Yisrael Midan Vad Be'er Sheva, all of Bnei Yisrael from Dan until Be'er Sheva, Dan all the way up north, Be'er Sheva all the way down south, Kachol Sheral Yam LaRov, like the sand on the sea is how many they are, Panecha Olkam Bakrov, and you should lead them in battle. You should go out to battle with them. Uvanue Love, and then come to him wherever he's to be found. We'll come upon him like the dew falls to the ground. That's how many people we are. Not one man among him is going to be left, because we'll have so many people going against him. No matter how much he's able to protect the place that he is and how big of a warrior he is, when he goes up against that many people of Klal Yisrael, there's no way he's going to be there. And that's the idea. He said, rather than Achitofel be in charge, right? The idea would be that you should be in front and you should spark the troops to victory. You should be able to lead them into victory and be able to go around. With a large force, you'll be able to go in, and even if some people lose to David Olive, which is likely because David Olive is such a strong person and so much in charge, nonetheless, he won't be able to escape because you have so many people there. He'll just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. That's the idea behind it. And he was saying, I'm not saying this off the top of my head. That's what he's trying to say over here. He's telling him, I'm thinking about this. I had already considered this whole thing, and that's the idea behind it over here. First of all, you have to know something about Husha Arki. He was not just some idiot. He was also a guy who knew how to speak. This wasn't just a guy who knew David HaMelech, the best friend of David HaMelech. He is a guy who had the power of speech to be able to tell people things, and people listened to him. If he goes to a city, he's referring to David HaMelech, then everybody will go and bring themselves to that city. We'll bring ropes. We will bring it down into the river until we take all the ropes all around. Again, using cunning, persuasive language to be able to win the hearts of the people away from Achitophel and to try to get them into David HaMelech itself. Literally, we'll pull down the wall in order to fight, in order to make sure things are going to be this over here. We'll uproot everything there. Don't worry. We will be perfectly fine. Okay, so that's stuff over there. But Yom Rav Shalom Kol Ish Yisrael Tova Atas Chushai Arkim Yatz Achitophel. Shalom and all the people of Israel said, you know what? The eighth of Achitophel, of Chushai Arki, was greater than the eighth of Achitophel. That makes a little bit more sense, they said. You know what? We actually hear that. And this is done on purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this on purpose, that Achitophel's advice, which normally was good, right, would instead be brought evil onto Avshalom. That's what's going to happen over here. That's exactly what's going to be. Oh, so nice of you there. Wow. So nice of you. Unbelievable. But that's exactly what's going to be over here. It was done on purpose, right? And that was going to be because Hushai Arki was going to be the source that was going to allow David HaMelech to be able to win. Okay, let's go what happens over here. Yomar Hushai Tzadokel of Yasser HaKohanim Kazos V'Kazos Yach Achitophel. Hushai said that Tzadokin of Yasser HaKohanim, remember, Tzadokin of Yasser were the spies. Hushai was the real spy. Tzadokin of Yasser were going to bring messages to David HaMelech. They were the ones who knew where he was. So they brought it over. He says, this is what the eighth of Achitophel was, is Avshalom Ezikne Yisrael V'Kazos V'Kazos Yach Yani, and this is what I advise. Send quickly to tell David, saying, do not sleep in the middle of the desert. Keep going. Because you don't want everybody to be swallowed up. It could be that Avshalom was only pretending to listen to Hushai Arki. It could be that Avshalom was always planning on listening to Achitophel. And he was telling Hushai Arki on the outset, you're right, I'm going to listen to you. While on the inside, what was he going to do? He's going to listen to Achitophel and go after David HaMelech tonight. He needed to guard him. He wanted to let him know to guard against a possible attack to make sure that it's a very, very good possibility if that's what's going to happen over here. So warn him of the danger immediately to make sure that's what's going to be. Okay, that's that. Okay, the Yonas and Achimas umdim be'in rogel. Yonas and Achimas, remember, those were the sons of Tzadok and of Yasser. They were standing by Ein Rogel. The Olah Shifcha v'Gidolahem. A Shifcha went and informed them what was going on from Tzadok and of Yasser. So many people are in on this coup, you know what I'm saying? Around. They went and they told David HaMelech that they could not be seen coming into the city, because everybody knew that Tzadok and Yasser had sympathies toward David HaMelech, which meant their children as well. So they would do stuff like that. Now, Ein Rogel, that's where the women would wash their laundry, their aglaim, and it was right by their feet. In other words, they would wash their laundry over there. It was like a laundromat type of place. It was not a place for Achimatz and Yohonasan to be hanging out. It was a very weird place for them to be. They were there on purpose. Weird place for them to be. So people didn't expect them to be doing, to be there, so nobody spied out that area. That's the reason why they went over there. But Yarosam Nar, so a youth still saw them. So once that young man ran to go tell Avshalom, they went quickly and they came to the house of Ish B'Bachurin in a certain area in Bachurin. There was a well in that guy's Kotzer. They went down into the well to make sure that they would not be seen. The woman, obviously the Shifcha, I guess, she spread a covering over the well, and they put like some wheat on top of it so it looked like there was nothing there. There wasn't a well there at all. It just looked like an old place where they had wheat on top. Nobody knew that anything was there.
Sounds like one of those traps that you walk on.
Yeah, I know, seriously. They were inside there. But the men, the Avdodim of Avshalom, came to the woman to the house. And where are they? They went over there. They crossed over the Michal mine to the river. They searched for them, they couldn't find them, and they came back to Yerushalayim. Okay, so no matter what they were doing, there were so many people on Shalom Aleichem's side that you saw that even when there was something that might have been Yonatan and Achimatz might not have been known what they were doing, nonetheless, because they were around, it could be there was something that something was going to happen, and somebody went for Avshalom and tried to get around over here. It also happens to be crazy. Bachurim, if you remember, is the area where Shimi ben Gera was, which was the enemy of David HaMelech. It could be that's why they were spotted, because they were right around that area. But it's amazing, they still had people there who were on David HaMelech's side. Remember, Bachurim meant that it was a Binyaminite city, and the Binyaminites were still angry at David HaMelech for taking over Shaul HaMelech's kingdom. Nonetheless, there were people who were going to help, and there was no question whatsoever. Okay, that was perfectly fine. That's that. Vayakwe left them after they left. Vayalumi Abair, they came up in the well. Vayokwe Adigam El Dovin, they came and they told Dovin Amel. Vayomu Aid El Dovin, they sent Dovin, Kumuvi Ibrahim Ahira Samayim, go quickly over the river. Kikoko Yotzalekam Akitova, that's what Akitova would advise against. Vayakam Dovin, Kolam Asher, Itovi Abu Zeran, they crossed over the Jordan River at Ora Boker by the morning or before morning. Ad Akod, Loned Dora Shalom Zeran, not one of them was left when that crossed the Yarden River. So as soon as they went, right, immediately David HaMelech, there was no confusion, there was no indecision. Immediately they went and they decided, all right, it's a sign for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time for us to go on the other side. They were willing to go over here. Okay? They still were in the land of Israel because it was still the land of Reuben and Gad. Nonetheless, it did not have the same kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. Chav Gimel, guys. Achitophel Roa Ki Lo Nestatz also. This is a great pasuk. Achitophel saw that his Eitzel was not listened to. Yaakov was a chamor, so he saddled his donkey. He got up and he went to his house, to his city. He gave a will to his household, and he hung himself. And he died. And he was buried by the kever of his father. Because otherwise he wouldn't have been there. What, the father?
No, Achitophel. He doesn't deserve to be buried like that. In more than Machos, he's...
There's a lot to talk about Achitophel. Let's read a lot about what he happens over here. Number one, Achitophel knew the only way to defeat David HaMelech was to get him right now while he was still in confusion. As soon as he saw that his advice wasn't taken, it was taken by somebody else, he realized he's a dead man. And he realized also that the only kapara that he could possibly get for what he had done by going against the master David HaMelech must be the only thing that he could possibly do is to allow himself to be put to death. Because otherwise he was worried. What would happen otherwise? If he was caught in the rebellion, then his property was going to be confiscated. He was Morid B'Malchus. Morid B'Malchus, all of your property goes to the king. So what did he do? He wanted to kill himself first, that all his property goes to his kids, not to the king.
That's why he probably also says he instructed his family, he probably did the will.
Exactly. That's exactly what he wanted to do. That's the idea behind it. And it's possible, Achitophel did not have a chilek in the world to come. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right? No. Once he considered himself foolish, once he was gone, he wanted to go ahead and hang himself. The Midrash tells us that he was stricken with diphtheria. I don't know what that is exactly. I think it's sort of like gonorrhea. Like he had some type of really, really bad disease, right? And it wouldn't go away. And that was that. In the end, he had a lot of gaiva. They say about Achitophel, like how great he was. He made these towers of Torah in the air, Achitophel. Nonetheless, at the end of the day, he hung himself.
What does that even mean?
What?
Towers of Torah?
Yeah, I'll explain to you. Normally, the way we learn, all we learn is how we base ourselves on something else. In other words, the pasuk that we base ourselves on is like the big, you know, the foundation of everything. And then there are Maimari Chazal, like a Reb Meir says this, and Reb Yochanan says that, and those are bricks that you put on top of the foundation, you build it up and build it up. Eventually, get down to the Rishonim, here's Rashi's pshat, and the Ramban's pshat, and the Rashba's pshat. Then you come down to Morach Ronim, like the Pnei Yeshua and the Gra. You're just building on top. Your pshat goes all the way up on top. It's like a tiny little brick all the way up on top, right, of a massive building all together right over there. Achitophel and Doeg made towers that were hanging up in the heavens, meaning there was no basis. They had no basis for what they were saying. It was brilliant. brilliant what they were saying, but they weren't basing themselves on anything. They weren't basing themselves on the Rebbeim and people that came before them, on the Torah involved. They just said brilliant thoughts, and people were like, wow, that's such a brilliant thought. But since it wasn't based on anything, it was a migdal that was literally hanging up in Shemayim. And that's what these people were like, that's what Achitofel was. That's the idea behind it. He saw, he realized how bad he was, and he knew it was going to be there. Because Achitofel had sinned through the power of speech, he therefore died through strangulation, which again was right over there. He was 33 years old when he died. He already had great-grandchildren, which is pretty impressive. Shlomo Melech was his great-grandchild. But nonetheless, he was a very, very powerful individual.
Did he replenish your friends that you get only from Israel?
No, I got a couple of them. Dov Achitofel told his sons three things. You ready for the advisories of Achitofel? Number one, don't get involved in disputes. Number two, don't rebel against Dov and Melech. It's good, right? And number three, if the weather on Shavuos is clear and balmy, plant grains. And that's the way you become rich. I'm sure there's a secret behind of that. Yeah, that's that. By the way, regardless, it could be that the reason why is because it has to do with Shavuos. Achitofel is explaining them how to become very wise. Maybe the grain that's grown right after Shavuos in that time was able to help you learn a little bit better. Or maybe it referred to learning Torah in some way.
Labor Day, remember that.
Yeah, I would assume that that's what it refers to over here, and that's what it says over here. If a person, we learn from right over here from Achitofel, there's a lesson that we learn from him. If a person grants a wish before he dies, it's automatically given. It's called mitzvah machas meis. And if a person says, like right before he dies, I want this to happen for this child, right? No matter what he says, mitzvah machas meis, if you make a command before your death, it is followed, right, no matter what. That's called, it's like you don't even have, it's automatic, that stuff like that. Unless you're hysterical. Unless you're absolutely hysterical. What do you mean?
What was his wish?
Whatever it was. But we specifically say it this way, by Yitzav El Beso, to show you whatever he commanded, we did. Because Mitzvah Macham Esmiso is absolutely his validity. It says if there's a written contract on the matter, it counts automatically. So that is an absolute halacha that we learned. It says in Pasuk Chav Dalet, the Dove Bal Machanayim, he came to the city called Machanayim. Here, check it out, right over here, guys. Machanayim is right by this river over there. I don't know what river that is over there, but right over there, a little bit above the Dead Sea, Shechem is right opposite there. So you can see it's literally opposite Shechem on that side of the Jordan River. Okay, so he's right over there. He came to Machanayim. Avshalom offered us a yard in Behuvachol Ish Yisrael Imo. Avshalom, after gathering together his whole forces, his troops, and everything, he also gathered together everybody. He had all of Bnei Yisrael with him. David Melch was still in danger. There's no question. It's Amasa. Some Avshalom takas Yoav al Tzavah. Avshalom then put Amasa in charge of the army instead of Yoav. Amasa ben Ish Ushmo Yisraeli. Amasa was the son of a man. His name was Yisra Yisraeli. Asher Bol Avigayo Bas Nachosh Achos Suya Em Yoav. Now, he had been together with Abigail, the daughter of Nachash. Nachash refers to Yishai. This is the sister of Tsruya, who is the mother of Yoav. Now let's go through the family again. Remember, David and Melech had seven brothers and two sisters. The two sisters were Tsruya and Abigail. Okay, I know David and Melech's wife was also named Abigail. It's not the same one. Abigail's son was Amasa. Tsruya's son was Yoav, and remember Asoil. Remember Asoil? Asoil was the quick one, right? That was that as well.
Wait, what about Asoil? Wait, what was the story?
Asoil was the quick one who chased after Avner ben Ner, and Avner ben Ner killed him, and that's why Yoav killed Avner ben Ner, thinking that he would whatever. So all these people. Now we have to ask why Yishai was known as Nachash over here. The reason why he's known as Nachash is because he had never sinned in his life, Yishai. The only reason why he died is because Nachash seduced Chava and Adam to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, therefore they all have to die. Yishai, Binyamin, Amram, and Kilav, the son of David, those four never sinned and yet were there. That's the Gemara Bava Basra on Tezvav.
Well, Rashi quotes it as Shabbos Nehem Abayz.
Oh, then Nachash is there. Yeah, that's correct. That would be right over there. Nehem Abayz is the famous Gemara that says David HaMelech. Anybody who says that David HaMelech sinned, Eino El Atoa. It's a mistake. He never sinned whatsoever. Amasa was definitely David's nephew, just like Avishai, just like Asoel, just like Yoav. I'm sorry?
It doesn't say later in that Gemara that the only reason you're saying this is because you're related to him. Isn't that... Oh, no.
Yeah, it would make sense. Yeah, but I don't know exactly what it is. Yeah. Either way, regardless, there are a lot of people that say Yisrael Yisraeli was a Yishmaelite. He was a Yishmaeli Ger who lived among Bnei Yisrael. Others say he was an Israelite who lived among the Yishmaelim. So either way, whatever it's going to be. So listen to this all together, okay? Why was he called Yisrael HaYishmaeli? So it says the following. To eliminate the threat David posed to him, Shaul sought to illegitimize David's status as a Jew by saying that he came from Rus HaMoavia. Yisrael Yisraeli got so mad, he put on his sword and said, whoever refuses to hear this law will be struck down by the sword. I have a tradition from Beis Din of Shmuel that Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, right? A Moavia and an Ammonis can join Klal Yisrael, even though an Ammoni and a Moavi cannot. Okay, so he got up there and he said that Yisrael, the Ishmaeli, because he girded his sword and went out to war to Paskin Alaka, that David HaMelech was Jewish, therefore he's called the Ishmaeli. He was well known for using his sword to go out there. Okay, that's the idea behind it. What were you going to say?
Moab lineage is beating a dead horse.
Yeah, he was not much, by the way. He talks about it right over here. But yeah, go ahead.
Everybody knew where he came from, but he was anointed with the Shemar Mishnah. I mean, he was God's chosen person. It's like, enough already. Everybody knows.
I know, it is kind of ingrained within us, isn't it? I like it that way. Pasukav Vav, Vayichan Yisrael Vavshalom Eretz Gilad. Bnei Yisrael Vavshalom encamped in the territory of Gilad. Check it out over here, guys. It says, here's where they went from. Avshalom's route, they went up to Bachurim, right? That's where they went over there. David HaMelech went all the way up like that, right? Shaul, which one is which? It looks like he went that way. It looks like Avshalom. Yeah, Avshalom gathers troops right by Baal Chatzor, right? Goes all the way up and goes through that way. David HaMelech ran that way. He went the quick way right over there. Okay, so now we go. Let's go over here. It says, Vayi, Kibbutz David Machanaim, when David HaMelech came to Machanaim, Vishovi ben Nachash, Meravis ben Amon, Macher ben Ami, Milo Davar, Tarzilai Agilad, and Miroglin. So here are these three people that came about, right? Number one, Shovi ben Nachash, from Rabbas ben Amon. If not mine.
That's interesting.
Okay, it's all good.
I don't know where this came from. Those kids back
there. Okay, it's all good. Either way, Shovi ben Nachash. Shovi ben Nachash. Remember Nachash? Remember David HaMelech fought against the Ammonim? Remember that? Nachash was the guy who had taken over, okay? Shovi, his son, came from Rabbas ben Ammon. Machir ben Amiel from Lodavar. And Barzilai HaGiladi. Remember Barzilai HaGiladi? He's the one that came by. They brought by, from Roglin, they brought Mishkav, Vesapos, Ukliyotzer, Vesitu, Musorim, Vekemach, Vekali, Upol, Vadashim, Vekali. Beds, they brought, what's it called? Things of water, bowls, right? Kalim, Kliyotzer, like things that they would need. Like earthenware vessels, wheat, barley, flour, roasted grain, beans, right, lentils, and roasted kernels.
I'm making a mess.
Udvash, vechama, vatzon, vishvos, bakar, yigishu, ledavi, lomashar, yitolda, echol. And then they brought honey, and butter, and sheep, and vishvos, bakar, and all these different cheese from cow's milk. They brought it to the people that were with them to eat. Kemra, roiv, v'ayif, v'tzame, v'mir, because they were hungry and tired and thirsty in the desert. But yeah, they were making amends. That's 100% from what they had done just before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that David HaMelech would have everything that he needed over here. And that's the idea. And again, David HaMelech doesn't forget this. When he thinks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that happened over here, he thanks God for even this. He didn't look at it as Barzilai HaGiladi helped me, or Nachash Bnei Ammon sent his person to me, or anything like that. He said, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sending me these three people to give me everything that they needed. There's no question he had HaKadosh that's hope for these three people for being the messengers of God. But he considered it straight from God and not from these people over here.
What was he thinking 2 days before when his son was trying to kill him?
Avshalom? He knew that was a curse, remember?
Governor.
Yeah, when Avshalom was coming back, remember? That was a nevuah. He knew somebody was going to rebel against him was because of what he had done with Bathsheba. He knew about it already. It was a nevuah that had already said it completely. It's unbelievable. So remember, it's overwhelming how much they got right over here before they came to war. Because I mean, think about it. They needed a lot of food. What Avshalom didn't know is that had he fought him on that night when Governor was still starving without anything whatsoever, nonetheless, things were good. Some say that Shovi, by the way, the name Shovi is because he did Shuvah. And that he came back to Klal Yisrael, and that he became a Jewish person, or at least he was sympathetic toward the Jews themselves. Parag Yurkas says in Pazagava, Yivko David is Amashir, he told Yitzhak Malim, sorry about the story of Meos. David counted the people that were with him, and he made officers of thousands and officers of hundreds. After they'd gotten the supplies, he realized that he had to divide them up to finally make them into something, into divisions that we'd have certain people in charge. Yishlach David is Amashlish is Biad, Yoav Shlish is Biad of Yishab and Zuria, Achi Yoav, Ashlish is Biad, Itai Agiti, I love that guy's name. Gavala split the people into thirds. A third went into the hands of Yoav, a third into Avishai ben Tsruya, and a third in Itai Agiti's hands. I mean, he had some massive generals in charge of this army. King said to the people, I am going to go out with you. Okay, so there were those, every single one of them was going to go out. Some say that there was divided into four, and the fourth camp consisted of women and children that were not fit for combat, that they were positioned all the way in back, that if they needed to, they would flee. The other three were one in front of the other, so each one was set in a separate place, that if they needed help, each one could help each other right over there. Okay, so once he had known that this is going to happen from Achitophel, in other words, he found out what was going to be of Achitophel's advice, where Avshalom was going to, you know, come up against him in a surprise attack. He knew what he had to do when he got things together as quickly as he possibly could. Okay. The people said to David HaMelech, do not go out. If we run away, nobody's going to pay attention to us. If half of us run away, you know, nobody's going to pay attention to us. You are equal to 10,000 of us. It's better that you help us from the city itself. In other words, they said, if you go out to war and you die, we have nothing to do.
We have nothing to fight for.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to go out there. Stay in the back, we'll fight the war. If we die, we die. We're fighting for you. But if you go out to war and you die, we literally have nothing to fight for. Stay in the back. It could be that they specifically wanted David HaMelech to daven. I would assume this is toward the end of David HaMelech's life. He's 68 years old right now. 68 years old. I would assume they all knew the power of David HaMelech in his fields. I would assume he knew how to say to him. I would assume he is a master davener, and they knew that. And they said, David HaMelech, you're 68 years old now. Stay home. We don't need you in war, but we definitely need you to daven. I think that's what they really wanted. Yeah?
Do we assume that he asked to earn the tumim, or he did not ask to earn the tumim?
Now, that's a good call. He may not have had the availability because Tzedek and Avyasa were in Yerushalayim. So I don't know if he actually used the Urim and Tumim at this time. He may have sent messages to the Urim and Tumim, but I don't know if he had enough time.
Is he allowed to wage war against the Jewish people without?
No, he's allowed to defend himself. He is allowed to defend himself. If you know you have to do that, then you definitely are allowed to. Could also be, we got to remember that David HaMelech is a Navi. He also had Nelson and Navi and Gad Achoza together with him. It could be that they were giving nevuahs or that he had dreams. We don't know. We absolutely have no idea whatsoever. It could be that the warriors also knew that this war was not against them. Absalom's army was going to go straight for David, and that's it. So they knew, like, they're going to try to stay away from Yoav, from Avishai. As soon as they see David, they're going to go en masse toward David HaMelech to go fight against him. The Yomar Aleim HaMelech Shayita Beinechem said, whatever is good in your eyes, I will do. The Yom HaMelech Yada Shari stood by the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and thousands. At this time, he said, "Lam not sech is more le David, right? Yan ko Hashem biyom tzur, yisagev ko Hashem elokei Yaakov." And he said the line, "Lam not sech." At the end, Ela v'recha v'elo asiz v'nach b'shem el Hashem elokei minazkir. They go out with chariots and horses and whatever, but we go out with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is David HaMelech. David HaMelech saying, "We're not going out with that stuff. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's that." And he stood up and he said, "Lam not sech." He said, "Tehillim chof." Right at this time, that's when he wrote it. And he sent all the three generals saying, La'at li lenar, please be slow when it comes to the kid, Avshalom. All the people heard what the command was of the king and all the officers regarding Avshalom. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. That's what David HaMelech was saying. David HaMelech, no matter how he felt about Avshalom, no matter what he felt about this war, nonetheless, he said, I don't want Avshalom to be killed. Show patience, forbearance, everything like that over here. Now, it happens to be that, either way, David dies, he could have thought of it as, this isn't Avshalom rebelling against me. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing me for what I did through the means of Avshalom. but Avshalom really is not the one to blame over here, and that's the idea behind it. Maybe that's that. He was willing to give this order, even though he knew it's possible that it was going to hinder all the fights that was going to be over here. But he said, you have to make sure that ended up happening over here. All right, either way, regardless over here, this is what's going to happen. The people went out into the field, Likras Yisrael, to go grief in Israel. The war was in the wood of Ephraim. Now, I'm not so sure what that means, to be honest with you, because Ephraim was on the other side of the Jordan River. So I don't know what that means, the wood of Ephraim. So I don't have a picture over here. Does anybody else have that? Oh, right over here. Jordan River, wood of Ephraim. It just makes me think it would be like right there. Yeah, that. I mean, that's, yeah. I just don't get it. Do you see Tzaphon over there, or right Sukkos? There. Tzaphon is Sukkos.
Tzaphon's right there.
Okay, Sukkos must be right around
right
there. Right around there. So it was right around here. And that's the Yabok River, right? That's the river Yabok right over there, the Wadi Yabok. Right over there. I don't know. I have no idea why they would have called it the Woods of Ephraim. Ephraim never lived there. It was Manasseh and God's
right.
land.
Supposedly right here.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Right in the middle of the land. It makes no sense why it would have been called that. I'm not so sure. Let's see what it is in a second. It says over here, they went straight into battle. They did not wait for Avshalom and the men of Israel to come to them. They wanted to take them down. Even though there were fewer in number, they trusted in David's tefillah. They were absolutely sure. Here we go. Yeah. Ephraim was adjacent to the river. They would take their sheep and goats across the Yarden to graze on the other side. So now we have the answer why they crossed the road. Anyway, that's that. So that's where they put all their stuff. So the wood of Ephraim, the forest of Ephraim, was opposite the area of Ephraim. It's where they would take their people over there. Okay, I get that now. That makes a little bit more sense. Now, Pusham Ami strolled with the Avdi David. The people of Israel were destroyed in front of the Avdi David. Atisham Magefa Gedola Bayamah Western Malach. 20,000 people was the plague on that day. That's how many people died. It's Shem Melchama Nefetzis. Up in Ekel Arts, it's scattered throughout the entire land. By Yereva Om Lachol Ba'om. Measher Ochla Karabi Yamahu. The wood consumed more of the people that day than the sword themselves. They were rooted completely. There's no question whatsoever. But nonetheless, because they were so disorganized and spread out everywhere, they became frightened. They went into the forest. By that, they were attacked by wild beasts, says Jonas and Benuziel. They went running wildly in the forest. They tripped over branches. They stumbled over thorns. They were wounded more by the forest than they were by anything else. Some of them fell into pits and they died through there. The people were running around, just not able to do anything whatsoever. That's what ended up happening over here. Crazy stuff. It says in Pasuk text, by Yikari Avshalom with Avdi David. So Avshalom happened to go upon Avdi David. Avshalom rules of Al-Parit. He's riding on a mule. The Al-Parit has Shobek. Shobek Al-Ela. He came underneath a branch of an oak tree, Agidola, that was huge. Vayekzak Rosho Ba'Ela. His head got caught in the oak tree. Remember, Avshalom was very proud of his Nazirus. He was a Nazir Olam that shaved his head once a year. So he had very, very long hair. By Yutam Ben Ishmael Ben Arit, he hung between the heavens and the land. The Al-Parit is attacked. Of Avar, the mule just continued on. So he sat up in the tree, caught by the tree. Chazal asked, why didn't he release himself from the tree? Avshalom saw underneath Gehenim open up right underneath his body. He saw that if he let himself go from the tree itself, he was literally going to fall into the pits of Gehenim. So he stayed up in the tree itself, wait, literally that way. As it says, really, he saw.
Cut his hair go for. He cut his hair just once a year?
Once a year. That's that. Really, another Olam shaves their head whenever they want to. Because the shaving that is not there. He just has to make sure that it's only done at a certain time after it goes on. Once a year is a lot.
I mean, it's a lot, but like, to get completely stuck in a tree by your hair?
I guess it's long enough. Look at David's.
Well, he had that long for a long time.
No, that is his haircut. He probably just got a haircut.
No, I'm over it. But that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, no. But it does. If you have a ton of hair, then you still could. It might not have been huge. Maybe he had
some people's hairs grow faster anyway.
Yeah, that's true also.
And it could have been a miracle that his hair grew faster too.
Boy, it's crazy stuff. Everybody says that if you look at the Parshas, we all said that Avshalom was a Ben so remote, right? We all know the Parshas. And Parshas Ki Seitzei, it says, number one, there's the Yafas Toah. That's how David Melech got Avshalom's mother. She was Yafas Toah. She ended up becoming not a hated wife, but not one of David Melech's favorite wives. Okay, she was the hated wife of the second parsha. From that, Avshalom ended up becoming a ben Sora Mora. That's the third parsha. You know what the fourth parsha is? When a person is killed and hung up on a tree, do not leave him until morning. So the next part of the portion is that that ben Sora Mora was ended up hanging on a tree. That was the punishment of Avshalom. That shows you what it was referring to over here. A Yar Isha called the Yagid Leov. A man saw it.
She saw,
remember? He said that about Tamar, much earlier. Tamar, Absalom's sister, was mutter to Amnon, because she was from Yifasor.
Okay.
So a man saw. So a man saw it and told it over to Yoav. I saw Absalom hanging on the tree. Yoav said to the person who told him, you saw him. Why didn't you bring him down to the ground? Well, had you done so, I would have given you 10 silver pieces and one belt. Okay? You just couldn't understand it. How did you not strike him dead? I mean, it's expensive back then, you know, like good stuff back then. Right? But how could you not have struck him dead? I can't understand why you would have done such a thing. So Vayomer Isho Yoav, Velu Anoki Shokal Kapai, Elef Kesef, even if I would have had 1,000 silver pieces in my hand, Lo Ashlof Yadiel Ben HaMelech, I would never touch the son of the king. You hear what that guy said? We heard the king command you and Avishai and Itai saying, Shimu mi banar b'Avshalom, be careful about the young man Avshalom. Or Sisi b'Nafshi, right? I would have gone against my own soul. Sheker. There would have been absolute falsehoods. There is nothing hidden from the king, and you would not become involved. So in other words, if I would have killed him, David Melech would have heard about it, and I would have been killed by David Melech. So you would not have involved yourself. So what do you mean? How could you not kill Avshalom? Of course I'm not going to kill Avshalom. Who am I to be able to do? That's what he's trying to say. Yeah.
Do we know who this person is? He's a pretty good guy.
You know, I don't know, and I'm looking at it right now. I do not believe we know who it is.
Nobody comes down here.
Can you imagine if you were this guy? You had a pretty good mind.
You know what? It seems that there is a bit of a kasha that's learned over here. Yoav was not just a fool who was saying, hey, let's go against David Melech. He held that Avshalom was a rodent. And if a rodent is willing to kill the king, and you see that he was willing to, it's mutter to kill him, even if the king tells you not to. Do you understand? It goes like this. If Reuven is chasing after Shimon to kill him, Shimon says, don't kill Reuven, it's still mutter to kill Reuven, because that's a rodent. And Yoav held that Avshalom was a rodent, even in his weakened state, and therefore you could kill him, even though David HaMelech had said not to. It says in Pasuk Yedalav, Yomer Yoav lo kein ochilu lefanecha. Okay? Vayikach shlosh yishvatim achapo, vayizkaim b'leiv Avshalom odenu chai b'leiv ayilo. Yoav said, it's not right that I beg in front of you. In other words, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to ask this again. I'm going to do it myself, and I'll take care of it myself. He then took 3 rods in his hand, meaning 3 big spears, and he stuck them into the heart of Avshalom while he was still alive in the heart of the oak tree. Okay, so he said, Yoav said, I'm the one who's going to do. Now, the reason why he did that is because Avshalom had deceived 3 people. His fathers, his nations, and Sanhedrin.
And didn't he burn Yoav's fields?
I'm going to get to that. Because he once, and he did it itself, Avshalom remained somewhat, because he did that, right, Avshalom was punished with those 3 spears. Chazal tell us that even though Yoav put those things right through him, he did not kill him. Meaning he did it in such ways where it would be unbelievably painful for Avshalom and stick him to the tree so he wouldn't be able to escape. But he did not kill him. Let's say he stuck 1 spear right over here in his shoulder, another spear 1 in his leg,
etc.
He did it in a way that he would not die. Okay, so that's the idea behind it, and he got him right there, struck him to the heart, but did not yet kill him. That's the idea behind it. The 10 youths who were Yoav's weapon bearers, they went around him, struck Avshalom, and killed him. Why 10? Because Avshalom slept with 10 of the concubines of David HaMelech. Therefore, he was knocked down by 10 of the youths, and he was afflicted by each one of them. Because all 10 of them did it, David HaMelech could not kill anybody, because you're not not chayiv misa unless you're the only one that killed them. But if 10 people kill somebody at once, none of them are chayiv. None of them are chayiv whatsoever. I'm sorry?
What about 2 people?
It goes with 2 people as well. It's lav dafka 10 people whatsoever. On the Chazal say that Avshalom lost his chilek in Olam Haba. It says that he lost everything, and that's why it says they struck him and he killed him. Right? So that's what they learn over here, that he was struck in this world and he was struck in the next world as well. That he wasn't able to be in the next world as well. Yoav, again, could have held that it was a rodeif, could have held that there are other ways of doing stuff like that. Again, and when it comes to rebelling against the king has no permission to pardon an offense. Again, the mechila of a king doesn't work. So Yoav might have held, you have no permission, David Melech, to do such a thing. So he held that once he was up there, that was that. Could be also that there was still people who were on Avshalom's side. They really loved Avshalom. Even if Avshalom was alive and went to jail for the rest of his life, nonetheless, there would always be people who would be trying to stage a coup or try to kill David Melech. So what did Yoav do? He said, I'm not going to let that happen. He killed Avshalom immediately so that there would be no problems whatsoever with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Vayiska Yoav the shofar, Yoav blew on the shofar, Yashar Am Miradopach where Yisrael, they stopped chasing after the Jews. He chosach Yoav, and chosach Yoav the Am, because Yoav restrained the people. Yichos Avshalom, Yashlukos of the Yar, Al-Pasach Gadol. They took him, they threw him in the forest to a big pit, and they threw a little gallon on him, and they made a huge thing of stones. Gadol Ma'od, before Yisrael, Nasu Yisrael, Lo Alov, and every man went back to his tents. They went back, and it was by this time he realized there's no point to this battle anymore. There's no reason to go fight against them. It's clearly that it's not going to be any, you know, it's not going to be a problem whatsoever. It could be that the reason why he buried him there is because when you murder a person, then he owns the ground that his blood was spilled on. So therefore he buried him right there in that place where his blood was spilled because that was the right thing to do over there. It could be that's what ended up happening over here. Alright, regardless, right, that was the idea of what happened over here. Now, Avshalom Lokach by Yatsuk Lo B'chayim. Now, when Avshalom was alive, right, he was taken, he took himself, and he set up in his lifetime, his Matzavah Zerba Emek HaMelech, a certain monument in the Valley of the King. I do not have a child that will remember my name. And he called the stand by his name. He called it the hand of Avshalom, right over here, and that's what he ended up doing. Okay, so even though he had a memorial tomb already made for him in Yerushalayim, nonetheless, he was not buried there. He was buried in the woods of Ephraim. He was buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. Did you notice that as well? Outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the stones around him, as if he was stoned to death. That he deserved to be stoned from everything that was over there. So this person who had all the greatest things in the world, he died an ignoble death, and his name was stained for all of eternity, all of eternity out there. Now, it is a little bit strange.
Doesn't have any kids?
Yeah, we already mentioned that he had kids. Okay, it could be that Avshalom's kids were not on his level. Could be, oh, there we go, he would be leaving no son worthy of inheriting the throne. Others say that at some point his sons died prematurely. So it could be that that's the reason why, right? Why he had no sons whatsoever, and that's that. There's no question that Yoav was taking revenge. That Yoav remembered that he had burned down his field, and Yoav was like, all right, now you're going down for what you've done. There's no question about that whatsoever. That is that. Okay. Bechayev, by the way, if you look at the line, Bechayev, it's missing an extra yud. The reason why is because he lost 10 years of his life because he had slept together with the 10 concubines of his father because he had done something wrong out there, and that's what ended up being over there. Okay, that's that. Tradition has it that Avshalom's memorial is a structure that sits at the base of the Harazeisim.
Have you seen it?
In the valley. I have never seen it. I've actually never been to Harazeisim. If it's down there, then it's right near the kever of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but I don't know where that is exactly.
There's a whole valley of three different structures. One of them is rumored to be Avshalom, but I don't think it's real historical.
Well, that's the rumor behind it. Good stuff. Vahimatz ben Sadok. Vahimatz was the son of Sadok HaKohen. Arutzen of Abbasos HaMelech. Tishvato Hashem Yadoivav. I'm going to run and tell the king that God has judged him or avenged him from all of his enemies. Vahimatz Yoav. Loish Besoyerato HaYom HaZeh. You will not be the bearer of news today. If you start to be Yom Acher, you'll tell him on another day. Vahayom HaZeh Lutavata Ki Alkein Ben HaMelech Meis. But today you will not tell the news because the son of the king has died. Clearly Yoav understood. This was not a good news thing.
Yeah.
passage of it have to get ready for Avelis, or does it not apply?
Yes, it's going to apply. We're going to see, but it's going to be a different type. Since he was killed for being Morid the Malchus, there is no such thing as Avelis for somebody who's Morid the Malchus, even if you are the king. There's no such thing for it whatsoever. Yoav knew how badly David was going to take this news. And he knew that if Achimatz would go tell him, it's possible that he'd kill Achimatz. It's possible. He didn't know how upset David was going to be. Therefore, Yoav took pity, right, and said, this is not the day. The king's son has died, don't go near him. Yomer Yoav Lakushi. Yoav said to Akushites, Lei Chagid Lamelech Asher Isa, go tell the king what you saw. Akushi then went ahead and ran to Yoav, and bowed down to Yoav, and went ahead and ran. It could be that he was a Ger. It could be that he was a dark Jew. That's the possible. It could be that it's the same kid that told Yoav, right, that Avshalom was hanging from a tree. Okay? It could be also that this man was very distinctive in his deeds, the same way that Sipora was known as an Isha of Cushis for her beauty, because of her specialness in her deeds. It could be this man was also a very, very special person. That's the easy shot.
Right.
Just telling you easy shot. Achimatz ben Tzedek went and he told Yoav, you know what? I'm going to run after the Kushi as well. But Yomer Yoav, why are you running, my son? You have nothing that you want to say. There's no good news here. So he said, nonetheless, I'm going to run. Then go. Achimatz ran by the Kikor and he passed, he overtook the Kushi itself. So no matter what, Achimatz wanted to make sure that something would be happy, something good would come from it, that he'd say it in a good way. He was afraid of how the Kushi was going to be able to tell over the news. With David Yoshev and Shnash Aram, David sat in between the two gates. That lookout was by the roof of the gates by the city. And he saw, he lifted up his eyes and he saw that there was a man running by himself. When he said he saw that he was by himself, if he's by himself, then he's got news to tell, right? So he said, let him come closer and closer, and that's what he ended up seeing over here. Now, the lookout then saw, right, that there was another man running. There's another man running. This guy is also telling me something. I see the first guy looks like Achimatz ben Tzedek. He's a good man. That means that he's coming for good tidings. It could be that Yoav specifically chose a Kushi to be able to go to bring him bad tidings, to bring him the bad news that his son was dead. But he looked at it and he said, okay, it's got to be that. He was happy. He realized that it's going to be good news because that's what Achimatz would be sent for. That's the idea behind it. Shalom, in peace. He bowed down to the king, to his face, to the ground. God has cut down the men who have put up their hand against my master, the king itself. So that's what it's going to be. He realized there was blessing, realized that there was peace around here, and he said, it's good times over here. It says in Pasuk Chof Tes, Shalom l'nar of Shalom, is there peace to the youth of Shalom? Yomer Achimat, Ra'iti ahamon agadol ishwach, et eben amelach Yoav, et abdech of lo yadat imam. I saw a great tumult to send the Eved of the king, Yoav, right? That's abdech and your servants, right? I don't know what was there. I don't know. Said Achimat. And it could be he was telling the truth. I don't know what happened to him.
What?
But Yomer Achimat's
not telling the truth.
I don't know if he was
there.
He knows that they won the war. That never said that he saw that Avshalom was dead. Never said it. Even if he heard the news, he might say, I don't know if I believe
it. You're blew the shofar.
Yeah, but just to end the war. King said, turn around and wait here. Right? And he turned and he waited. David Melech obviously knew that there was something wrong over here. Okay? But that's that right over here. Here we go. Because Achimaaz was speaking hurriedly, hoping to avoid David Melech's questions, the rest of his words were incoherent. He meant to say that he saw a great commotion, but before he could determine what was going on, Yoav had sent the king's servants, the Cushian himself, to David. As a result, he had nothing to report. But either way, obviously, he realized that there was something there. Okay, now, the Cushi came over here.
My master,
the king should be advised that God has judged today you over all of those who got up against you. Is there peace by the Nar of Shalom? It should be like the enemies of my master the king to that youth. And anybody who goes up against you for evil. That was very, very quickly. Achimaaz immediately said how God had delivered into David HaMelech's hands. The Cushi just said vengeance, revenge, everything over here. That's ended up happening, and that's what David HaMelech was told over here. Okay, we're on Parakot Tess. Do we have time?
Your test. No, we're not going to start.
Your test. Alright, there's a lot of Pesukim over here. Alright, we're going to start from Parakot Tess next time.